Romans chapter number 1, we started, didn't get very far, but the Apostle Paul is the writer of the book of Romans, and so it's got about 16 chapters in it, and we got a long way to go, but we don't have anywhere else to be. Until the Lord comes, we just stay right here. And so verse number 1, let me read down to where we got to. I think we got down to about verse number 8. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad he called me one day. I'm glad he called me, showed me that I needed to be saved, and I got saved. And it wasn't one of them deals where he only calls some and he don't call the others. He calls. He calls. And sometimes if you got to be in calling distance. That don't mean you ain't calling, you just got to be in calling distance. And sometimes, if you're there and you're listening, he'll call you. Verse number 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. When you got saved, you're a saint. You don't have to be voted in a saint. You don't have to be prayed in a saint. When you get saved, you're a saint. Now, we don't always act like saints. Now, we're a saint on the inside. We're not a saint on the outside. That's what confuses people. When you get saved, you're a saint on the inside. You can't see me. You can't see the saintliness of me. And don't ask my wife, because sometimes she don't see it either. Saved folks sometimes don't act saintly. But they are a saint in Christ, in God, in Christ, in Jesus Christ. We're saved, sealed unto the day of redemption, and we're going to heaven. Now, one of these days, our outside will get caught up with our inside, and you'll be complete in Him, and then all of you will be a saint. The whole person of you will be a saint. All right, verse number 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now, I think that's where we ended last week, and we said the Apostle Paul was a Southerner. He said, you all. I don't see Brother Crawford here tonight. He may have got mad last time I said that. You all. Now, Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin. It was a southern tribe, so he was a southerner. And so, God, through Jesus Christ, for you all. Now, there's a lot of people from up north, and we love them. We love them. But they don't know what you all means. You have to say, you guys, for them. But Paul never says, you guys. He says, you all. And we shorten it up and say, y'all. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, in other words, your faith, what you believe in, the body of doctrine that you believe in is spoken of. Wouldn't you like Holy Hills Baptist Church? Hey, I've been hearing about y'all. I've been hearing what y'all been saying. I've been hearing what y'all been teaching. I've been hearing what y'all believe throughout all of Dyersburg. Wouldn't that be good? Well, the Apostle Paul says, I've been hearing about your faith throughout the whole world. For God, verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now that doesn't mean he prays 24 hours a day for the people at Rome. That means every time he prays, he's got them on his mind. Now obviously he's not praying 24 hours a day. When it says praying, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Another place, the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. Now, what does that mean? Hey, that means always be in the attitude of prayer. Always be ready. I mean, just in an instant, you can just pray without even bowing your head and closing your eyes. You can start praying for somebody. The Lord brings somebody to your mind, pray for them. Right there, we drive down the road. You ain't got to close your eyes. Please don't. the Lord brings somebody to mind while you're driving down the road, sitting at the red light. Somebody come to my mind. I say, Lord, right now, I don't even know why you brought them to my mind, but help them. Whatever, I don't know. They may be going through. I don't know, but help them right now. I just keep on driving. I don't. That's all I pray. Then later on in the end of the day, something else will come to my mind. Or a problem or something. That's it. Pray without ceasing. Always in an attitude of prayer. Alright, verse 10, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have proper journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. Now this is what he said. He said, I want to come down there. Everyone that is saved has a spiritual gift, maybe even two. And sometimes some people have the gift of gab. But no, some people have the gift of hospitality. Some people have the gift of exhortation. Some people have the gift of depression. Every time you get around them, you leave worse than when you started. But everybody, including the Apostle Paul, he said, I'd like to, share my spiritual gift with you. Maybe it'll help, be a help to you, and you'll be a help to me. And so it's not a second blessing or a second work of grace. That's not what he's talking about. Somebody said, preacher, you don't believe in the second work of grace or the second blessing? I said, ain't it pitiful that you only get two? You only believe in two? Man, the Lord's blessed me 3, 4, 5, 10, 12, 13, 25. I believe in the 100th blessing. And more than that. Verse number 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I know all the young people just left, but it'll help us too. Do you know how to be comforted together? Make sure you hang around and make sure your friends have the mutual faith that you do. Paul says, I want to be around you because we see things alike. You know why deer hunters like to hang around deer hunters? Because they're both deer hunters. They got something mutual in common. You know why fishermen like to hang around the fishing store? Because all of them go in there are fishermen. You know why all the ladies like to hang around at the beauty shop? Because, never mind, forget that. y'all got to loosen up just a little bit on a Wednesday night. I feel a little tension in the room. Maybe you work too hard or whatever, but loosen up just a hair. But that's why Apostle Paul says, I want to hang around you. I want to be there with you. Why? Because we have mutual faith. If you'll hang around, but you know where my best friends in the whole wide world are? They're sitting in this building right now. Why? Because we have mutual faith. Look, can I just be honest with you? I don't have any friends that I know of that used to hang out over here at the X Factor. I don't know. If I did, I wouldn't be friends with them no more. Now some of you clammed up a little bit right there. But I don't have any close. We don't have anything mutual in common. If I got around one of them people, they said, "Man, we had a big time last night, son. You that so-and-so couldn't even stand up on his 2 feet. Man, it was so funny, hilarious. Man, he went home with the wrong woman." That don't help me none. We don't have any mutual thing with that. Does that help anybody? I feel a little kink right there. But look, if you want to be comforted, you need to hang around somebody you got mutual faith with. And here is where my friends are. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I like to be down. I like to be over there in that room on Tuesday night for 2 hours, hanging around with friends and being comforted by friends that's got mutual faith together. Verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Some folks are ignorant. Now I would not have you ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. Some people are, but I don't want you to be. That oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, in other words, hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Hey, I want to get down there and work in that church. I want to hurry up and get down there so I can get in on some of that fruit. I can't wait to get to church. I want to get in on some of the fruit. Now, some folks can't wait to stay away from church because their fruit is somewhere else. Now, if y'all not going to help me, I'm just going to preach a little bit. But I like to be down here and participate in this kind of fruit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, mercy. Amen. Let's see. Verse 14. Watch what Paul says. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. You know what the Apostle Paul says? He says, I'm indebted to the people of Dyersburg, Tennessee. I'm indebted to them. I owe them something. You say, preacher, what does Paul owe the Greeks? What does he owe the barbarians? Can I give you an illustration? I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But sound like a country song, don't it? I may write one of them, make a whole lot of money. I forgot what I was saying. You know why? Let me give you the illustration. Let's just say I am in quicksand, and I'm going down for the last time. Quicksand's all the way up here. You can barely see what I'm throwing. You can't understand what I'm throwing. I got my hand up. And you can barely see my hand up out of there. And all of a sudden, somebody comes out, has a stick right there, and they grab a hold, and I feel that thing, and I grab a hold, and they pull me up out of that quicksand. I mean, I'm going down for the last time, taking my last breath, and somebody comes to my rescue. You know what I'm going to do? As soon as my feet get on solid ground, I'm hugging them. And you know what? I will do anything. I will mow their yard every week for the rest of my life. Because why? I am indebted to them for what they've done for me. And if I was to go to Walmart and I was with this fella or whoever it was, and we run into somebody I know. Watch this. I would say, let me introduce you to him. And guess what? You know what? After I told you what his name was, you know what would come up what my second sentence would be? And he saved me. I'm indebted to tell you, I have to tell you this because I'm indebted to him and I'm indebted to you. Now let's change that over to the church realm. Listen. Before you got saved, you were going down for the last time in quicksand. You were going down, your hand was just barely sticking up. And there was a Savior that came down from heaven. And He reached further down than you could reach up. And He grabbed you by the hand and pulled you up, set you on solid ground, established your goings. He brushed you off and cleaned you up. You know what I did? When I got my feet on solid ground, I hugged him and said, boy, I sure do thank you for saving my soul. I'm indebted to you. And what he says, you don't owe me a thing. You don't owe me nothing. Oh, no, but I'm going to work for you. I'm going to serve you because of what you've done for me. Well, it's not going to cost you anything. I did that all on my own self. You're not going to cost you nothing. I did it because I wanted to save you. Well, I'm going to work for you anyway. And when I go to Walmart, me and him's right here together. Hey, let me do you know my friend? You know my friend? The lady at the checkout counter. Ma'am, you know my friend? You see this man right here? His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. And did you know what he did? This man right here saved me from dying. Now, if you got saved from a pond or drowning or something, you'd be telling it all over town. Jesus deserves the same credit. Amen. He saved you. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. I felt like John Hager right there. But they start clapping when he preaches too, man. That's good. All right. Romans chapter number 1, verse 14. I'm a debtor. I owe the Greeks something. You know what? He says, I owe the barbarians too. That's the people that probably we wouldn't associate with on a normal basis. You mean I'm indebted to them people too? Yes, you're indebted to the wino. You're indebted to the drunkard. You're indebted to the dopehead. What do you owe him? You owe him what somebody told you. It is our job. You're indebted to that man to tell him that Jesus died for his sins. That he don't have to live in that state of condition anymore. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in, or they're at Rome also. Now look at all these I ams. Paul, the I am. That's a good message. Just somebody wants to preach on it. Verse 14, I am a debtor. 15, I am ready. 16, I am not ashamed. Amen. I'm ready to preach the gospel. Ladies, you're not left out. Ladies can be preachers too. How's that for Baptist doctrine? Now, you're not supposed to get up behind the pulpit and preach and take authority, But hey, you know what? When you share the gospel, you're preaching. You're preaching. And that's what you ought to be doing. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you? What is the gospel of Christ? It's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. If you want to write it down, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the gospel of Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is, now notice, the Holy Spirit. He didn't say the Holy Ghost is the power of God. He said the gospel of Christ is the power of God. Unto salvation, to just a few. Now, I know it's Wednesday night, and I know you're a little tired. But aren't you glad it says salvation to everyone that believeth? Amen. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, those that are in the Tuesday night class, we've been going through the book of Acts. And the first part of the book of Acts, well, all the way, most, a lot of the way through it, Paul, and even Paul himself, Peter, all them, go to the Jew first. And then by the time you get Acts 28, Paul says, I turn and go toward the Gentiles, the Jew first, also to the Greek. I'm glad he didn't leave me out. I'm glad he came and brought the gospel to me too. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You say, preacher, what's that? The righteousness of God is always revealed. Old Testament faith, New Testament faith, from faith to faith. Every dispensation, all the contents of faith, righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And even today, what is faith? Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. How does it come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's where you get faith at. Revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I don't have time to deal with that. But that he's quoting Habakkuk 2:4. And in Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by his faith. Now, I don't have time to deal with that tonight. But in the New Testament, it's by the faith of Jesus Christ. By the faith of Jesus Christ, the just shall live by faith. How are you saved? For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 18, you ready? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. If you're a preacher, wherever you go, whether you go somewhere else, whatever, if they change this Bible, if they move a word, if they add to this Bible, if they correct it with the Greek, if they correct it with the dictionary, if they correct it with the JCPenney catalog, they are holding the truth in unrighteousness. Leave the Bible alone. The Bible is here to correct us. We're not here to correct the Bible. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Did you know that, listen, there is no excuse for being an atheist. No excuse for being an atheist. Do you know that? No excuse for being an atheist. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you, watch this. God says right here, there's no such thing as an atheist. You can't live in this world and be an atheist. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God hath showed it unto them. How has God showed Himself or revealed Himself in a general way? How is He revealed? For verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the what? The creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, who can go to the Grand Canyon and honestly look at the Grand Canyon and say there is no God? Who can honestly do that? It's got 1.5 cents. Huh? The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, watch, so that they are without excuse. No excuse for being an atheist. You say, preacher, how does the creation speak to it? Did you know that God is a Trinity? God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Y'all know that? How do we know? How would I know that without a Bible? Watch this. Because He made you. He made you a body, soul, and a spirit. You're a one person, three people in one. He made you just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The only difference is God can separate His. He separated. God stayed on the throne. And the Son came down here. The Son went back up there and the Spirit separated and came down here on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. We can't do that. Well, wouldn't it be awful to have three of me? Aren't you glad everything stays intact? Amen. Body, soul, and spirit. That's how you know. Hey, do you know this? That the moon is a type of the body of Christ. And the sun is a type of Jesus Christ. And did you know that the moon reflects the light from the sun? The moon don't have any light. It just reflects what light is given it to it from the sun. Did you know that the sun and the moon rotate against the earth? You know what that means? That means the moon and the sun are together. You'll be against the world. Hallelujah. Where did you get that, preacher? Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. There is no such thing as an atheist. No such thing, no such thing. I promise you, you put him in the ICC, on a hospital bed with tubes running down his throat, and he will say, oh God, help me. God knows how to put a fella in the position to holler out for God. Oh yeah. Verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Well, look at that. Here's the start of the apostasy. You know why America's in the shape it's in? You say, preacher, where does it all start? Here's the first step of apostasy. They knew God. Hey, all them fellas that come over here and all them men and women that come over here to America on that Mayflyer, toting the King James Bible on the Mayflyer, when they come over here, they knew God. But somewhere along the way, they stopped glorifying Him as God. Here's where it starts. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. What's the next step? Neither were thankful. They don't pray over their food anymore. They're looking at a table full of food that God had put water on the ground to bring that food to the table and give you a job so you could pay for that food to put on your table. And Americans are no longer thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations. You know what our problem is? Our imaginations. Our minds get us in trouble. What we see through the eye gate, that's why television. Unless it's Andy Griffin, come on now. Mr. Ed, If it's in black and white, it probably won't hurt you none. I'm getting a little kink on that. But you know what? Imagination will get you. Planting a seed in your eye gate will create the mind. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Bible said something like this. Genesis 6, 5, right before the flood came and destroyed the whole world, I think it's what it said. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's what brought the flood, because somebody's imagination. Well, anyway, that's going over real good. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Here's a good model to follow. Remember this. I'm not going to get done with this. Remember this. If you're smart in the world's eyes, you're probably dumb in the eyes of God. If you are smart, if you are dumb in the world's eyes, you're probably smart or wise in the eyes of God. Well, amen. Verse 23. Here we go. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. That's why they made statues and they prayed to statues and they built all these little statues and these little gods and these idol gods. They changed the glory. See, change ain't always good. It may sound like a good platform, but change ain't always good. Because when you start changing the glory of the incorruptible God and try to put Him in a box and put Him as a statue somewhere, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. All right, verse 24. Let me get this, and we'll find the stopping point. Let me get this. I want you to look at 24, 26, and 28. Ready? Wherefore, God also gave them up. Look at verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. Let me tell you what's happened, or what is happening to America. One of the most dangerous things that can happen is when God leaves you alone. When God lets you, how many times have our children come and said, I just want to do what I want to do. And one of the dangerous things that a parent could do is let them do what they want to do. You would be foolish to let them do what they want to do. Notice he gives them up three times. The first one, wherefore, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The first one, he gives up the body. The second one, for this cause, verse 26, gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use, which is against nature. The second one, verse 26, he gives up the soul. You say, preacher, where you get that? Vile affections. You love, and it comes from the seat of the emotion is the soul. And verse 28, and even they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. There's the spirit. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. There's where He gives up the spirit. Now, you say what you want to, but I'm going to tell you, I don't know how long it takes to get to this point right here. I have no idea. And I hope I never find out. But I'm going to tell you, you better hope God never takes His hand off you. You better never tell God to leave you alone. I've heard them. God, just leave me alone. And they'll walk in next Sunday and nothing will bother them. It used to bother them. Preaching used to bother them. And now they sit there and whistle. It don't bother them no more. You know why? God gave them up. to do whatever they want to do. I ought to preach this Sunday morning. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That means that they changed the words around and got a new version. I got to get this in. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, let me give this real quick. You know how you bless or worship the creature more than the Creator? Do you know what Matthew 22, verse number 36, the disciples come to Jesus and said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandments? Now watch. And Jesus said this, the greatest, number one, is this, that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And the second is likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. God first, then your neighbor. God first, then the creature. God first, then the creature. You know what this world now says in the world we're living in today? Love thy neighbor as thyself. You ought to love your neighbor as yourself. You ought to love your neighbor as yourself. The news media will even tell you you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody knows you ought to be good to your neighbor. You ought to love your neighbor. But you know what they leave out? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the first commandment. That's the Creator before the creature. Well, you say, preacher, what about that? Well, let me give you another one. You know what is quoted? Let me give you a for instance. I know what time it is. Hang on. I'm excited. Y'all pray for me. I didn't take my Ritalin. Ritalin calms me down. All right. At Christmas time. Some of you visitors probably believe everything I'm saying. At Christmas time, now that I got your attention back, Christmas time, you know what the Bible says? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Do you know at Christmas time what you'll hear our president say, the Pope, and everybody else say? They'll say, on earth, goodwill toward all men. You know what they leave out? They worship the creature more than the Creator. They leave out glory. You will not hear them say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. They only quote the last half. Why? Is because Romans is true. It's still in the Bible. On earth. That's what they say. Earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. Everybody. They lift out God. While you're clapping, they left out God. They worship the creature more than the Creator. Verse 26. I'm closing. Hang on. I got to get this. There's one other thing that's really bothered me I want to get to before we close. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. Does anybody need me to explain that to you? Does anybody need me to explain that to you? When you leave the natural, you go to vile affections. And it becomes unnatural, and God will give you up. Likewise, verse 27, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Does anybody need me to explain that to you? There's only one way you can reproduce in this world today. It's by a pink elephant and a blue elephant. When babies are born, they have a pink card and a blue card. And when the pink card and the blue card get together, they'll have another, either pink card or a blue card or both. Does that happen to anybody? No rainbow cards. No rainbow elephants. I said, "Preacher, why are you saying that?" It's because our country is following. They're following the line. I'm just telling you. It's like this. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They knew God, did not glorify Him as God. Neither were they thankful. They came vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the truth of God into a lie. The women started leaving the natural use, women with women and men with men. They turned them over their vile affection, their imagination. Y'all with me? We've come a long way. Come a long way since this thing started. Ain't that something? Verse 28, I'm done. I thought I could get done, but I can't. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Why did He do that? To do those things which are not convenient. It's not convenient to live that way. You say, "Preacher, what do? We love them. We preach to them. We give the gospel to them. We love them just like we do a drunkard." Y'all help me now. If one walked in tonight, they'd be well. Y'all help me now. They need preaching. They need preaching. They need preaching. Just like you needed preaching one day. Just like a drunk needs preaching. Just like a dope head needs preaching. If they'll come in here, act right, behave, set up, and listen, they're welcome to come and listen. We're not going to put them over a classroom. We're not going to let them put them as a. We're not going to make them a deacon. But they're willing. They're welcome to come, and we'll preach to them. Amen. Well, I just wanted to get that off my chest. Wanted to encourage you a little bit. Say, "Preacher, what were you? Look, we're in a mess. This country's in a mess. But guess what? Let me give you good news real quick before we go. Let me give you the good news. Ready? I'm saved. On my way to heaven. I'm headed out of here. Amen. And if the Lord was to come right now, I'm headed out." That's the good news. And some people ain't ready. Some people ain't ready to go. I hope you get ready. Before He comes, I hope you get ready. Now you say, "Preacher, man, Romans chapter 1, is it going to be like that the whole time? Oh no, wait till we get chapter 1, 2, and 3 deals with sin. 4 and 5 will tell you how to get out of that and how to get saved. Hallelujah. So don't stay away for the next two Wednesday nights. Come back. You've got to see yourself real bad before you can get saved. Amen. We have them come down here all the time. And you know what the first question I ask? I say, what can I help you with?" They say, "Well, I think I need to be saved." I ask them this, question number 2. "Why do you think you need to be saved? Who told you need to be saved?" Forget all this 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, 4, 5, 6, you know, pick up sticks, 8, 9, 10. Let's all get them in. 9, 10, 11, let's all go to heaven. You forget all that with me. Why do you need to go to hell? "Well, I don't want to go to hell when I die." Well, why? Here's question number 3. Who told you was going to hell? And you know when they say this, they say, "I'm a sinner." And I've, you know what I mean? I'm a sinner. I say, we're halfway there.